What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Swanson chat room, where me, Sean, and Louise are going to review a film of our choice. And today is a carry-on from an episode a couple of weeks ago, and we're doing Back to the Future Part 2.
Hell yeah.
Yes. Before we get into that, I'm going to talk about a poll that we did on our Instagram at Swanson _ chat room. So, I asked, favourite Back to the Future film, ?
I did see this, but I didn't answer because I was half asleep. Just going through Instagram.
What's yours?
I think surely, I used to think that the second one was the best. Because I like the tropes of like alternate realities and stuff like that. I think it was a cool idea. But No, I think the first film is better.
Mm-hmm.
Just as it is, like as a pro, just as a film, taking up what it is, the first one's better.
Craig?
I don't know.
Well,
it's definitely not the third one.
Yeah. I was speaking to Mum, and she was like, the second one's the best. But after watching it again, I think the first one's best for me.
See, I think I'd say the second one, but we can review it at the end.
We had a split decision in the replies. 50% said part 2 and 50% said part 1.
Fair dues.
So, nobody voted for
just
part
like
3.
Just like on the podcast, it's a bit of a split.
Yeah. But yeah, that's one that.
Heck. Why does no one vote for part 3? Do you think that they could have done a better... Well, obviously we'll get to it next. We'll not mention it. Episode 40 will be back, part 3. Episode 40, my God. Imagine
Christ.
Speaking about that.
Wow.
Christ alive. Yeah, God, but I would be... Like, obviously part 1 is just like an absolute... classic. It's like the time travel movie.
It is absolute classic.
And then part 2 is like, it builds off of it exists so much on the back of the first one.
Yeah
let's just get into it, guys. There's no messing around, no tiptoeing around it anymore. Let's just do it.
Bada bing bada boom.
Well, it starts and it kind of leads off of the end of the first film, so
yeah, it shows like the end of the first film.
Yeah,
again,
so...
But did you notice there's a change?
What's the change?
Between the end, because obviously the scene at the end of the first one and the start of the second one is exactly the same, apart from the girlfriend is recast.
No way!
I didn't even realise that.
A different person, yeah.
I did not even notice that at all.
I didn't notice either.
Well, they look the same.
Look similar, yeah, but and I think they said, because remember how we spoke about last time, how there was no plans for a sequel?
Yeah.
And how, like, in the end of the first one, the two of them get into the car. It's about your kids, Marty. Something's gotta be done about your kids.
Yeah.
And get in the car. And then they kind of regretted taking his girlfriend with them, Jennifer.
Oh.
Which is why they like get rid of her like pretty much straight away.
Yeah, okay.
They just put her to this. He didn't know what to do with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
she wasn't really a character that we knew. So it was like, it's kind of hard to incorporate her into the story that much.
Because they'd have to try and develop her whilst we already fully developed these other two characters and the timeline. Yeah,
and all these complicated story elements, you can't be bothered trying to like find a new person to introduce.
Yeah.
So that's why they kind of like, they regretted writing her in, but when the sequel did come around, they were like, okay, well, we've already committed to having her there, so we may as well just...
But I think they made it work pretty well.
Yeah, they do. She's in it. She has like a quite a good scene, I think.
Yeah.
In the middle of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, yeah.
So the doc comes, and it's like, literal, Marty's just got back to his 1985. And then the doc comes to him, he's like, Marty, we've got to go to the future, something's wrong with your kids. So him and his girlfriend go into with the doc to the car, and then they go into the future. It's cool when it first goes in. Funny, in the future, because it's 2015, that's where they go.
Yeah, the far-flung future of 2015, which was 30 years in the future at that point.
Yeah, and like I remember the day like on the news and all that, when it was Back to the Future Day.
Like, whoa!
Yeah.
And like, but... when they go, they're in the sky.
Well, when they're taking off, Biff sees them.
Yeah.
It's like a DeLorean, a flying DeLorean.
Yeah.
What? I was going to talk about this as well, because, well, it comes up, this will come up in a minute, but like, it turns out that every timeline they go to, there is like a Biff or Griff or whatever. Like, there's a Tannen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, like.
Long Budling.
Yeah. But then who is the Tannen in Marty's generation?
I know.
Because and then we'd be like, oh, maybe it was a daughter they had, and they didn't interact. But then his Griff is also a Tannen, so he must have had a dad who was a Tannen.
Yeah.
Mm.
Which, it'd be interesting
but,
if they were like.
But you don't really see much of Marty in his own timeline.
True, but like Marty seems to be like quite like a popular kind of guy, and every other timeline, his kind of counterpart is like beat down by the Tannen. Yeah. Maybe there is no Tannen, or there's something different about this Tannen for some reason.
Yeah, no, but maybe this Tannen is nicer to Marty because of how much Biff like. Is, cool. Like respects his dad now, Marty's
Imagine if Marty's present, Marty had a friend who was like the Tannen, and then the two of them went with Doc back in time, and then it's like about their friendship and stuff. Obviously, that's a totally different film, but yeah, it'd be cool if that was an element in it.
Mm-hmm.
That would be really cool.
You see, like, throughout the generations, all their family hate each other, but for some reason, they just get along. They just have to work it. Like, why? Just a little thought,
a
little
lot
theory
for the
here.
Brain.
Off of the brain. We haven't even started yet.
No.
So yeah, they're flying through the sky. It's the future. We're like, whoa, cool. They're flying in the sky. It's raining.
All hover
horrible
cars.
Weather. All the hover cars flying around. There's a taxi just about runs over them somehow, even though they're in the sky. They're going along the sky lane in the sky, flying around. And then Doc kind of just explaining, like, oh, they're in the future. And he's like, what? The future? Doc? Why are we in the future? And they're driving around, as I said, in the sky. It's dark. It's night. And you've got a plan. Doc's got a plan, and he puts Jennifer to sleep, as we just said. Puts her
she keeps on asking like tons of questions.
Yeah.
Puts her down with a like a alpha generator thing. Puts her like zaps her in the eyes, and she falls into a deep sleep.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of gets rid of her for like most of the film.
Yeah, literally.
She's barely in it from that point on, which is a shame for her because like she's fine. I think she's pretty good in the scene that she is in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's October 26th, 2015. So she's like, what's happening? I don't get it. And then they eventually do land in the same scene we've seen it twice before. Like, we've seen it in the 50s, we've seen it in the 80s, and we're seeing it in the 2015.
The same area.
The same, like, square. Mm-hmm. And they land in this alley behind it all. And then they kind of describe how, like, Doc's got a big plan. He's got a major plan. He needs Marty to come and help him do this plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then they go and hide. What's her name? Jennifer.
Yeah.
They hide Jennifer in this alleyway, like buried under some stuff. Don't know what it is. And then
boxes.
He takes the dog. Takes like this little like tube out with like, clothes. Is it? I can't remember what it was. Something with like clothes in it.
It's a Nike little. It's like a little barrel with a Nike fashion or something on it, and it's like he's got some shoes and a jacket, and he puts the shoes on. They kind of like they self lace.
Yeah. Which are real.
They made them.
I think they made them for the Back to the Future Day, to be honest. They're only like, very limited edition. They were Kanye West had a pair. They were for a lot
very
of money.
Cool. They're very cool.
They are really cool.
And the jacket, which was like way too big for him when he put it on. He was like, oh, this doesn't fit any. And then Doc comes up and presses a little button and it kind of like slims down to his size.
It was really cool.
It's a cool idea.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, is that all he needs? Because like, how did the... So he only... His t-shirt and his jeans are the same.
Yeah.
As his person 30 years in the future, what a coincidence.
Just the jacket that changes.
And the doc tells him to turn out his pockets because in the future all the kids wear their trousers inside out. That'd be quite a good Halloween costume to do, actually.
Oh, yeah.
All you really need to get is the jacket.
Jacket and the hat, probably. Yeah. You just get some, like, some generic kind of Nike shoes.
Yeah.
Or is it Nike? I don't remember.
So then the doc's like, right, look at this newspaper. Your son, he goes to jail. So he's like,
oh, man.
If you see Biff, all you have to say is no. Oh no, is it his grandson
Griff.
Though?
It's Griff.
Yeah, Griff. If you see Griff, say no. He's like,
Griff
what the heck?
Ask you about something, just tell him no. It's off.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, if you say so. So he tells him to walk around the corner, I'm going to do that. He goes, I'm like a little, he says, don't look at anything, don't touch anything, don't interact with anyone. Just do this.
Yeah.
So then he starts walking around and it's into the square and it's all like, it's kind of like all the flying cars going past and all the futuristic cars driving past.
Mm.
And it's like it's just like little Easter eggs all around the thing. Like it's things that existed in the 80s, but just like a special version of it.
Yeah.
There's a poster that says elect Goldie Wilson Jr., which was the Goldie Wilson was the guy who worked in the cafe in the first one.
He's my granddad was a mayor.
Yeah, he was like a car. He's like a car mechanic or something. Well,
that's the third one. So the first one, Goldie won. It was the first mayor in the 80s. Goldie 2 is currently running for mayor. And his son, Goldie 3, runs the conversion shop.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's quite funny. So my granddaddy used to run this town, blah, blah, blah. We don't have to worry about that anymore. Mm-hmm. So he, he's, I just like all the little Easter eggs. In this scene as well, there's a character, and I don't know who it is, but it's definitely someone wearing old man makeup, and I don't know who it's meant to be.
Mm-hmm. I was confused about that too.
Might be the director, Steven Spielberg.
Maybe, but like, it's, you think they would make a point of it being like a character that is in the past, but it probably is, but we just don't recognize them. Maybe it's the same person from the first one who tells. No, it's a woman in the first one, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. That's what's confusing.
Very strange.
Maybe they're transgender.
Maybe.
It's funny.
They're wearing two ties.
They're all wearing two ties. It's funny when Marty first walks out the alleyway to go to the cafe where Griff's going to be. He's like, look around. And the guy comes up to him, like, save the clock tower. And he's like, would you donate $100? It's like,
quite a lot of money.
Yeah, because like, currency's obviously like not must not be worth as much anymore.
It's inflated. They said like that the conversion of your hover car is only $39,999.99, so it's $40,000.
Yeah.
Oh, which is, it's only this. Oh, cool. Only that. That's fine then. No problem. And so there's the scene where he's walking around and he goes up to the the Jaws, like Jaws 17 or something.
Oh, yeah.
And it has a big like holographic thing that comes down, like a giant holographic shark.
Comes out and bites him.
Yeah. He's like, ah!
Everyone's like, what the heck?
They just think it's just normal. It's quite funny. And it has the same petrol station before that used to be like a, it used to be a Toyota dealership, but now it's like a petrol station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just little, all these little details. I'm sure there's like thousands of them, but I'm not picking them all. Yeah. Craig coughing right into the mic. Classic Craig.
I tried to put my hand in the way. Right, guys.
So he eventually does make it to this little bar, this the diner. It takes a seat inside.
But there's no staff, though. It's like you get served by these TV screens. One's like Ronald Reagan or something.
And one's Michael Jackson, yeah.
Yeah.
And it has like, it's an 80s themed like retro bar. So he like, he knows what it's like. And he's like, can I get a Pepsi? And they give him a Pepsi because that's what he asked for, like every time when he asked for a Pepsi. He gets he's got Pepsi Perfect this time.
And then when he sits down, these two, this old guy comes in and it's Biff.
So it's old Biff's already sitting at the table and he's like, McFly! You're Marty McFly. You're Marty McFly's kid, aren't you? He's like, yes.
He talks about how like his dad's like a big screw up.
How's it feel to be the son of a screw? Like, George McFly is not a screw up. Is it? No, not George McFly. Marty McFly Senior, your father.
Yeah,
and the biggest screw up in Hill Valley, or whatever he says.
And then Griff comes in and he's like, "Stay there to Marty."
He's like, "Gramps!"
Yes, to wash his car or something.
He's like, "I told you to put two coats of wax on this car." He's like, proper like. Squeaky when he does it. It's quite funny. Yeah. He's a really good actor, that guy.
Yeah, he is.
I really like him. He's a good character actor.
Mm-hmm.
Which is the same thing, like, in the new 1985 that Marty made in the first one, you see that Biff is waxing George's car.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they had the same exchange. About, like, is it two quotes or one? He's like, oh, no, it's two. You try to trick me, whatever.
Yeah.
And he's like, he's like, Gramps, do this, blah, blah, blah. And then Marty's like, so you guys related? He's like, you can just calls me Gramps for his good health or something. He says,
just knucklehead.
No, hello!
Head over the head. So then they go outside and Griff's like to Marty, he's like, stay there. And then Marty looks over and he sees these two kids playing like an arcade machine.
Do you recognize the kid?
No.
One of the kids is Elijah Wood.
Oh, really?
Main guy in Lord of the Rings trilogy.
That's pretty cool.
The smaller one. Yeah, he goes over and helps the kids play the game. And he's like, oh yeah, I'm a crack shot.
Yeah.
And he shows him, like, he's quite good at the game. And he's like, oh, you have to use your hands? That's a baby's toy.
Yeah. they'll walk away.
So what are they doing in the future?
Hey.
How are they playing? What do they think this machine was? You have to use your hands? We surely have to use your hands for everything. Because how could you possibly use anything else?
Honestly.
Well, I suppose the doc talks about... There's quite a funny scene, actually, earlier on when they're in the alley. Doc peels off his, like, face, and it's, like... It just looks like... He looks normal now because... Well, the justification for that is because in the first one, in the 50s, he's normal. But when it's in the 80s, he's wearing old man makeup to age him up.
Yeah.
So then in the second one, so they didn't have to have him wearing old man makeup all the time. They just made him look like his actual age.
Yeah, you said he wore this like plastic face on that extends his life like 40 years or something.
Yeah, it's quite a nice little those all details, so we don't have to bother doing the thing. Yeah. It's quite funny. So then, scarily, not scarily, but unfortunately, the other Marty walks in. Yeah. Marty Jr. walks in the door. You can see, like, in the outside, he walks around the corner, and then Griff, like, follows him inside.
He's like, I told you not to leave.
I told you to stay outside.
Yeah.
In his weird voice.
So, yeah, he is really good. He's really good in this.
Yeah. And so then...
So then he knocks him about.
Yeah, but current Marty goes and, like, hides under the...
Yeah. So he's getting smacked about, and then he's like, he's a total wimp! Because he's getting smacked. He's like, I don't know, Griff, I'm not too sure. And he's like, chucks him about a bit, throws him behind the counter, and then he gets knocked out. So Marty takes his hat and stands up, and he's like, that's enough, Griff.
Completely different.
Yeah. That's enough, Griff. That's enough.
The answer is no.
Try to stand up. The answer is no. Try to stand up really tall. And then Griff comes up like...
He like growing. Like,
giant. Yeah, he's huge. Which I think that probably is the real height difference. Because Michael J. Fox is small.
He's 5'4". We Googled it.
And we did last time, yeah. I remember that was 5 weeks ago. Yeah. Oh. So... He goes to punch him. He goes on a chicken. He's like, press the little button.
Marty goes to leave, and he's like, "What are you, a chicken?"
Nobody ever calls me a chicken.
And you see behind Griff's back, he's got a big baseball bat. That he's like extending. And he's like, he goes to punch him. He goes to get him, and then he like sees the baseball bat and like ducks out of the way. And he goes to punch him, and he catches it.
He's like, "Look over there," and they all look.
Yeah.
They keep that happens in the last one as well. He goes to punch him, but it's like his big bionic hand because they all have like bionic implants in the future. That's why Griff acts so like, erratic because he's got like his broken implant.
Oh.
So then Marty runs outside. He tries to run away from them, and he takes this little hoverboard. It's literally the same exact scene as in the first one.
Yeah, it's just all futuristic.
It's a different skin on it. He takes like the hoverboard from the girl, snaps off the handlebar. He's like, hoverboard. And starts to like.
He has to quickly learn how to use it as he's run away from them.
Run away, yeah. They start chasing him in their big
car.
Well, three of them go around in their the three henchmen go around in their little hoverboard trying to catch him. They're not very successful. And then Marty eventually goes over water.
He stops.
It's like McFly. Don't you know it doesn't work on water? Unless you've got power. That's my favorite scene. That's my favorite line in the whole thing.
Whaps out his big.
Griff goes and gets his big fancy one out of his car.
Yeah, the big bulldog thing it's called or something. Apparently they were going to, in the trivia I read, that they were going to name that the board that uses Mad Dog, which is the same name as the Tannin from the third one. Mad Dog Tannin.
Oh, really?
Ooh.
Yeah. They ended up calling it like the bulldog or something instead. But like, they'd be doing quite a nice little Easter egg. So they go over the water, but then Marty's trying to pedal to the end, like... Because the hoverboard he has doesn't really work over water, so he's trying to like scoop his way towards the end.
Use his foot and scoop his way off.
And then he like sees them all coming towards him really fast, so he like ducks down at the last second, and then they shoot up the courtroom steps into the glass window and smash it and then fall.
Yeah, because they all like connect to Griff and he like tries to pull them all across.
Yeah. He jumps like, like you haven't seen it, Louise, you just watched it.
No.
No way.
Wow.
So then they all get arrested. And then the doc brings up the newspaper and it changes from Marty Jr. getting arrested to the Griff and all his pals get arrested.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to...
Oh, it's quite funny as well because it says on the newspaper, like, the leader of the gang says, I was framed! And then it cuts over to him and he says, I was framed!
And then they go back. You know, on the way back... Marty picks up
the almanac, the sports almanac.
He picks up the almanac. Yeah, it's got like all the sports results from 1950 to 2000.
Yeah, 50 years of sports.
The doc's like, what are you doing with that?
Is it a little bit of light reading?
I'll put the best statistics. On.
Yeah, and he's like, Marty, you can't do it. You'll destroy the whole space-time continuum.
Yeah.
He explains how it changed everything. So he throws it in the bin.
You can't do that. You can't go into the future with knowledge of what's going to happen. You can't go to the past, and then get knowledge of what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheating. So he's like, yeah, cool. And he just chucks it in the bin. Doesn't even do anything. He just chucks it in the bin.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that Biff, old Biff, emerges from... I keep calling him old Biff just to clarify, because it's they all sound the same.
Yeah.
Old Biff from the 50s, from the first one. He emerges from this little shop and then says he's been listening the whole time, so he now has this thing, the almanac, and then kind of gets in taxi and follows them.
Yeah.
Because they look in the alleyway and then Jennifer gets found by police in the alleyway, and then they take a trace or a fingerprint, and obviously she's still alive in this time, she's a lot older, so they have her address, so they take... Yeah, so the police found Jennifer, and they took a scan of her fingerprint, and obviously because her futuristic version of herself is alive in 2015, her fingerprint matches up to a house, so they take her back to her house now, her house that she lived in 2015. And they take her into the house and just lay her on the couch and then leave. And then
she looks really good for a 55-year-old or whatever they say.
Yeah, and they're better stay safe in the future. And she goes, the future?
Yeah. So then we cut back to Doc and Marty finding her not being there anymore.
Hmm.
But and then they said that the Doc checks out Einstein from the kennel or whatever at the same time. So now Einstein's with them as well. So then the Doc explains obviously she must be taken back to her house because she exists in this timeline, as she said.
Yeah.
But that's a big no-no, because if she interacts
with her
other self, it could interrupt the whole...
It could cause the galaxy to implode or something, you know what I'm saying?
He says it will destroy the whole space continuum at worst, but at best it might just destroy the whole galaxy. And then Marty's oh, cool, great.
Yeah,
great, Doc. that's great, Doc.
Then we see Jennifer, she... goes, her daughter starts coming downstairs, she's like, Mom, is that you? And then she runs and hides in the cupboard. And
The family's walking around her.
Yeah. Spooky.
We see, I think one of them's called, the daughter's called Marlene, who's also played by Michael J. Fox.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that. Can you not tell, Craig?
I didn't even tell, no.
Yeah. It's just him wearing makeup. And then we see, Lorraine and George come back in, the grandma and grandpa come in. But did you notice, again, that obviously it's Lorraine's the same person, but the guy who plays George is not the same person.
Yeah.
I didn't notice.
That's why he's upside down. So you can't tell.
Wait, why did they not have just normal George?
He didn't want to be in it again. They didn't give him enough money.
Really?
He was quite a famous movie star at the time, so he was it's not really worth my while.
Well, better agree that.
Not really. Yeah, he made so much money off. I think he got scale. So the way actors get paid is either you get paid whatever
a set amount,
a flat rate, or sometimes people get paid a percentage of the film.
Yeah.
If they think the film won't, if the studio thinks the film won't make that much money, they'd be like, yeah, cool, just take 5% of the gross, which is what they normally do for Tom Cruise movies, because he finances them all, so he gets 5% cut of the profit.
All right.
And then it's the same thing for George Lucas, for example. He signed all the rights away to Star Wars, but then kept all the merchandising rights, which, because at the time that was not worth anything, but then he obviously changed the whole game and made it so that you can actually that's the most the money he's made in merchandise.
Wow.
So smart. He was not able to get a deal like that for this movie, so he's like, nah, I'm not bothered. So then that's why every time you see George, he's either got his back turned, or he's upside down, or he's slightly out of frame, or it's old footage from the first one.
Yeah.
So he's never in it again.
Okay.
It's kind of thing if you watch that again, you would notice that you never see his face.
Yeah.
Because it's always just, if you see them dancing together, it's Lorraine you see, not him.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's quite good that they're the lookalike is quite convincing, that the back of his head looks very similar. And the way he holds himself looks the same. It's quite funny.
Wow.
But they come back in to the house and they're going for the meeting for dinner or whatever. They kind of mention offhand about how Marty once had a accident in a Rolls Royce,
mm-hmm.
30 years ago.
It ruined his rock star career.
Yeah.
So yeah, 30 years ago, hand.
would be the time, the year Marty lives in now. Like, the year Marty is from.
Yeah.
Would be 30 years ago. So that it's about to happen for him when he goes back. So he's like, and then Jennifer hears all this kind of conversation. They have a nice little scene where they have a little tiny like frozen pizza.
Yeah,
and they take out the sort of Pizza Hut pizza and they put it in this rehydrator.
It's funny because when Lorraine comes into the house, she's like, "I brought pizza," and Jennifer's like, "Oh no, one of the kids like that's far too much for all of us." But it's like this tiny little thing. It's like the size of like the palm of your hand.
Yeah, but then we see that they put them in this rehydrator machine and it makes it like a proper like 12-inch pizza.
Yeah, big pizza.
And like, oh, they're like, oh, grandma, you make the best pizza.
No. They said you rehydrate.
Oh, they rehydrate the best pizza, yeah.
Yeah.
So they talk about how like the TV is all broken and stuff, and because Marty won't let the repairman fix it because he called him a chicken, which is like, like what is it? That's what we've seen him do that multiple times.
Yeah, yeah. He just doesn't take it well.
Yeah, for absolutely no reason. It's not like a real insult, is it?
No.
So we see like eventually Jennifer tries to make it out, but then Marty comes in, like the Marty from the future comes in, and sits down at the table, sits down at his chair, and then gets a call from one of his co-workers. The guy who he's called Needles in the show.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
It's Flea. He's played by a guy called Flea, who is the Red Hot Chili Peppers, the band.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, he's one of the members of that, the main members of that.
Wait,
band.
But so who was like, he in the first film?
I don't think he's in the first film, is he?
Because when Marty answers Jennifer, it, yeah, he yeah, goes Jennifer Needles, and then Jennifer's like Needles, what?
Yeah, well, maybe I think maybe he's in the first one. I don't remember, but he's in this one and the third one, I think.
Yeah,
but he's not in the first one. I'm not 100%. But then, so he. Needle says, like, I want you to do a deal with me. Help me do this deal. Just swipe your card right here and we'll do this secret deal. It's going to go behind our boss's back, and then we'll get like loads of money or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he says, nah, I'm not doing it. And then he says, what are you, chicken? And then he does it. Just tastes like absolutely no convincing.
Yeah. And then his boss or something comes on.
His boss comes on, like straight away.
He's like, you're fired.
Fly!
He's like, no, you can't do this.
You are terminated!
No, you can't fire me.
Then all the different fax machines print out
you're fired.
Which is like, it's very realistic because every room in our houses are filled with fax machines. Even
yeah. Oh, it's funny, there's so many fax machines in it.
Yeah. But that's like the height of the future. There's loads of fax machines.
Yeah.
And we see Jennifer's in a cupboard, and then the doc comes to the window and says, like, you need to go, like, scan your finger on the thing to get out. So then she runs to the door. And like he scans her finger to get opens the door, but as she's doing it, the door opens from the other side, and then the other version of her comes through.
Mm-hmm. They both faint.
And they scream and go, ah! Then they both faint simultaneously, like as a mirror image of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And she faints. But as all this was happening, Marty was meant to be guarding the DeLorean.
Yes.
He like walks off to look around the neighborhood, and then
he's just curious.
Yeah. And an old Biff sneaks into the DeLorean
with the little magazine.
With that magazine, yeah, goes back in time, and then he comes back just
like two
in time.
Seconds.
Yeah, before the Doc and Marty get here.
Yeah.
Very sneaky. And it leaves absolutely no trace, except there's a couple things he doesn't do. Well, obviously, for one, when he gets back, he leaves the head of his cane.
He has a really unique, it's like a skull, like a skeleton or something.
It's knuckles.
Yeah, it's
is it knuckles? That's it.
Yeah, and then he has, he also, on the way the display works in the DeLorean is like, it tells you where the last place it came from, which if they had got in and then read the display, they would know that it didn't come from 1985. It last came from 1955.
Yeah.
So like, it's totally like, it could have been more detectable if they had like read the display.
Yeah.
Cause it's kind of like, cause you get the impression that the Doc's a genius. It's quite interesting as well because this is the first time we know they've seen the Doc like as the Doc, because in the past, so in the first one, we only receive the Doc in the current timeline like for 5 minutes in total.
Yeah.
And then I suppose it's quite useful because like Marty and Doc already had a relationship before.
Yeah.
They knew each other.
Yeah.
It's kind of like mind bendy when you think about it. It must be like, because it's weird because Marty never mentions, you think that he would mention, like, why is this the same exact situation?
I know.
But just 30 years displaced. Because, like, Biff mentions it. Like, I remember this.
Yeah.
A few times. Like, he's like the only person who's aware of how similar it all is. Deja vu. Just like in Deja vu, it's like literally the same exact event.
Mm-hmm.
Just happening again. The same people. Just 30 years down the line. It's funny how, like, each generation, like, they must have their babies at the same time as well, all these different families.
Yeah, but
it, the same age.
It would have been different for Marty. Because... Wait, are you talking about when they go back in time and Marty sees everything that's already happened?
No, for Marty, he does the chase in the square, for example, in the first one.
Yeah.
And the second one does the chase in the square. In the future. Exactly the same.
Yeah,
it ends in the same way.
Yeah. I know.
That just doesn't actually end in the same way, to be fair, because in the first one he goes, I hate manure.
And this thing was flying through glass, yeah.
Yeah, but similar.
Similar, yeah.
So, it'd be cool if that was an element as well, like how, like, because they do kind of talk about it later on, that, like, the Doc talks about how, like, why is it 1950? Why 1955? Why is that such an important part of this universe? Why is it, like, is it the start? Is that, like, the center point of all space-time? Or is it just a massive coincidence?
Yeah.
We kind of threw it away, like, as a joke, but that's quite, like, an interesting question, like, if they had kind of went into that a bit more. Like, why this date and why these families and what's going on with that?
Yeah.
It's a bit more, like, a bit more hard sci-fi, I suppose, though. It's kind of, like, easy-breezy. It's a bit less digestible to the average audience member, I suppose. I suppose. Right, then what happens?
So then they go back to 1985 and then they drop Jennifer off at her house. So they just leave her on the bench. But Marty's just like...
Make her think that she, like, dreamt the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Marty, like, he's like, there never used to be bars here. Like, on our windows, bars over our windows. And the Doc, like, drops Marty off. No, actually, the Marty drives away, and then Marty goes to his house and, like, climbs in through the back window, but when he climbs in, it's, like, someone else's room.
He's, like, there's a little girl in his bed.
Just jump the gate and then get in the window, yeah.
And he jumps in, and there's a girl starts screaming, so dad runs through with, like, a baseball bat.
It seems quite funny, because he's proper just, like, smack, 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 just missing him every time, though, just destroying the room.
Yeah.
Freaking out, yeah.
Yeah.
But Marty's obviously freaking out as well. He doesn't know what's going on. So then he runs, like, gets out and he runs away.
Dude, when he's running, like, down, it's like all the cars, like, on fire. Like,
yeah,
it's just like a really rough place.
Like a wrecked police car, which is quite like quite rare, you'd imagine.
Yeah, it's really being destroyed.
He runs up to one of the houses and grabs a newspaper off the step and he says, like, no, the date is definitely October 26, 1985. So he's like, what's happening? But then he hears, like, we hear a shotgun getting, like,
pumped.
And we turn our head and we're like, that's Strickland.
Yeah,
the principal.
Mr. Strickland. So then...
It's me, Marty.
It's me, Marty, from school. So what are you talking about? The school burned down 6 years ago.
Yeah.
He said, get off my property right now. And then there's kind of the group of teenagers like, hey, Strickland! And they start shooting at him.
Shooting with machine guns, yeah.
The machine guns. Like, what is this? What is
and
this world?
They both jump out the way. And then Strickland they drive off, Trick runs out with a shotgun and tries to shoot at them.
Then Marty runs away in the meantime.
Yeah.
So they go back to the courthouse, which now is not a courthouse anymore. Now it's a big, massive, like, it's Biff's, like, super casino.
Yeah.
This giant skyscraper in the middle of the town, which is, like, and it's just, like, biker gangs going all around it, and, like, everyone's got, like, a gun, and everyone's just, like...
In the back, there's, like, a tank with those people sitting on it.
Yeah, and it's, like, it's really dark, and, like, looks really polluted, and everything's dirty and graffiti everywhere. Like, it looks horrible, apart from this, like, massive palace in front of him that says Biff on it.
He sees a video, and it's, like, the richest man in the world. How Biff got the richest man in the world. The luckiest man in the world.
Yeah, when he was 21, he won his first millions, and he just kept on winning, couldn't lose. So he's putting on bets, and he's never lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Marty's like, what? That never happened. And he sees a video about, like, how he eventually married his mum. His third wife was his mum, but it's funny because they kind of imply as well that one of his wives was Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
There's pictures of them. It's kind of like a museum of Biff.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Funny. I remember.
So then he, like... He gets jumped by one of the goons. Like, the goons from the 50s are now Biff's henchmen again in 85, the alternate 85. again, one of them is Billy Zane, who is the villain in Titanic.
That's pretty cool.
One of them is J.J. Cohen, who's like a famous, like, he's a famous writer, famous director, kind of like, he's like a screenwriter.
Is he not one of the Cohen brothers?
I don't believe so. That's Ethan and Joel.
Oh, okay.
I think J.J. Cohen, maybe, it's got something to do with like Futurama, I think.
Nice. Okay.
They're called Match, 3D, and Skinhead. That's the three guys.
3D is the one obviously wearing 3D glasses.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He's the one who gets the most lines as well. He says everything. The three of them. So, they go up, he goes back up to the place, and then he like wakes up. He wakes up and he sees his mum.
Well, this is like a scene from the first one as well.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I just had a really bad nightmare.
Don't worry, Marty, you're back here on the good old 27th floor. 27th floor!
Yeah.
The good old 20... And he looks at his mum, and she's had like a breast augmentation. He's like, There's
mom,
nowhere to look. He's
what
like,
the heck?
You look so big.
Yeah.
So then Biff comes in and starts like shouting at them both, like, what the hell, why the hell are you here? You're meant to be in boarding school.
In
what are you doing? This makes it quite easy because means like he isn't there with them. He's like not a part of the equation. You don't need to worry about the alternate Marty.
Yeah.
There's too many things to juggle.
Yeah, but then Lorraine's like, well, because Biff just starts like pushing Lorraine about. Why?
Because Lorraine says that she's leaving, and then Biff is like, "Fine, I'll just cut off all your kids then."
That's no more money then. Cutting off all the people, cutting off
all
the stuff.
Like,
don't worry.
Goes through all of them. He's like the girl, the blah. And he's like, what the heck?
Yeah, they're both gonna be. They're both in jail. He said. Apparently, there was plans to have the sister be in jail. And you see her in jail. They're meant to be like they're meant to be both characters in this alternate timeline, but they don't because they couldn't get the girl to come back for the second one.
Oh.
But it would have been quite cool if we should have said in the square just before he goes in where all the bikers are, we see that same homeless man who was the mayor in the '50s.
Yeah.
It's quite funny. It's like cute little bits and pieces. I like how it's like there's like constant just little Easter eggs.
Yeah, little links.
It's a big time travel story, but it's set in like a small town.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And it keeps all the same people in it.
They talk, and he asks about. Sorry, Marty asks his mum, like, "Where's my father? Where's George McFly?" He's like, "Your father's been in the same place he's been for the past 12 years, Oak Park Cemetery."
Yeah,
and then lightning. Like, yeah,
it's weird as well. In all like the bad timelines, even like in this timeline and in like Marty's original timeline, like before when like his dad was getting picked on by Biff right at the start of the first film, Marty's mum's always a big alcoholic.
That's
so
consistent.
It's only in like the most perfect timeline that she isn't.
I was thinking it's weird because like he goes back and changes the timeline so that his family's now rich, but surely like
that could mess up things, something else.
That mess up everything, yeah. You can't like the whole point of this story is that you can't change things.
Well,
and
no,
he successfully does in the first one.
Yeah, but the thing is, you're not meant to change things because it could make it better or worse. And it luckily made it better.
Yeah, I suppose
for them.
And, like, it'd be interesting if like obviously this isn't really this should be more like a small spin-off kind of thing, but like his interactions with his family, like they have memories that he doesn't have, or like he does and they don't.
Yeah, they probably have memories that he doesn't have.
Like by that time he went to the racetrack, like, no,
because no.
My memory, we're really poor.
Yeah,
we don't have a race car because we're poor.
Yeah, weird.
Definitely not. Of course not. Very like I obviously these are kind of like more like elements of sci-fi, like time travel, that would be in like a more complicated film, because this is obviously like really like boiled down,
mm-hmm.
like, mostly kind of simplified. And I like the scene where like the doc explains the alternate reality to Marty. I think Marty's asking
like
all these, like, yeah, Marty's asking all these questions like, what does it mean, Doc? Is it obviously like a stand-in for the audience?
Yeah, they'd be so confused.
Yeah, that's quite funny. But then, so like, he goes to his father's grave. And then goes and speaks to the doc, be like...
The doc's waiting from there.
Yeah.
Like, I thought you'd turn up here.
He reckoned you would come. Because he broke into the library and like found all these things and says, like, I found out that, like, at this point,
They said the library's like boarded up and no one even uses the library anymore. They said they break into the library.
Yeah. School's been burnt down, library's boarded up.
He said the timeline must have been messed up at some point, and he's like pinpointed it down to like it must be in the 50s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like Marty, Doc, Einstein are all in the wrong timeline, and also Jennifer as well.
Yeah.
It's weird because like obviously the way the time travel works in this is like, but it's weird because it doesn't really like, it's presented as if it's two different timelines, as a splinter in the timeline, and it's like you have to go then go back to go forward.
Yeah.
Go back to the original point where it changed, then change it back, then go forward. But they leave Jennifer in the alternate.
I know, and then 55. Marty says that to Doc.
Yeah, I was like, thinking about that.
Hopefully, by he just says when we come back to our timeline, she'll be back to normal.
Yeah, because they imply that these are alternate timelines that they're hopping between almost. But it's more like this is like a diverging, constantly diverging timeline.
Yeah, it's only one timeline, but it can just be changed.
Yeah, but the way he like refers to it is almost like it's like a tree branch or whatever.
Yeah. So then, the Doc's like to Marty is that you need to find out when and where Biff got that almanac from, so we can go back and stop it.
Yeah. And he knows it's before 1958 because that's when his first big win was.
Yeah.
It must have been like around when he went back the first time. So he goes back to the casino and he's like, he confronts Biff, who's like watching A Fistful of Dollars, one of the like Clint Eastwood
kind
of
stuff. Clint
Eastwood, I don't know what were the guys called.
Yeah,
John Wayne or whatever. Oh, yeah, it's Clint Eastwood, right? And then he's like, it's a scene where he gets shot and then takes off like a metal plate and he's like defending himself from it, and that comes back in the third one.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind, that'll come back in the third one.
And then Biff's saying like how amazing it is that he managed to do that anyway. So then he's like, I want to talk about the almanac. And Biff's like, alright, okay. And they go into his office and Biff tells the whole story. How this old guy came to him and gave him it. And he was like, don't tell anyone about it.
He's like, he said he was my distant uncle. I didn't see the resemblance. But it's just the same person.
Yeah.
So he goes back in time. Old Biff is like, he came up to him, he's like, you need to, there's dates in this almanac, you just go through it and you can't be wrong. He's like, okay, fine. And then he showed me and it was real, so I just kept doing it. And then he takes the book out and shows him it and then puts it back in the safe. And he's like, he did say one more thing though. He said that if one day some old mama crazy hair or some wisecracking kid came around, do you know what to do?
And then you take them out. And say, I didn't expect it to be you. And he takes out a gun. Yeah. And then Mark starts running. Like all like his goons start chasing Marty, but like Marty hides, and then they all run downstairs thinking, yeah, you ran there. Then he ran onto the roof, and then Biff follows him onto the roof.
And Biff's like, this won't be the first time that I've shot a McFly or something like that.
Yeah, he's like, two McFlys with the same gun.
They never matched the bullet to the bullet that killed your old man.
I know.
And he's like, what? That's right, Marty. I am your father.
No!
No!
Wrong film, Shane.
Oh, sorry, my bad. But it's worth mentioning as well, when he's in Biff's office, he steals a matchbook.
Yeah, yeah. That says, like, Biff.
Like Biff Casino or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, so then, but Marty just, like, Biff's like, okay, Marty, just jump. Like, it'll just be so much easier if it's a suicide. Just jump off the edge. And then Marty just takes a step off and he's like, huh?
We're like, what?
And then the Lorian comes flying up.
Yeah, she's just floating in the sky.
And the Doc smacks him with the door and they drive away.
Yeah.
And they go back to, they're back to 55. So they now know that it's November 12th, 1955. So they go back to that date.
Yeah.
It accidentally, at some point, the circuits. Something goes wrong with the circuits as they're trying to maneuver away because Marty hit something, and then it flashes up for a second saying January 1st, 1985.
Yeah, and Doc said, I really need to fix that.
Yeah. So he, they adjust it back again and go back to 1955, and that's when Marty's like, why are we leaving the dog, Einstein, and Jennifer, his girlfriend? Like, what's going to happen? Is it, oh, hopefully, it would be fine.
But no, he says when we fix the timeline, they'll wake up thinking it's just normal.
Yeah.
And he's like, but what if we don't do it? And he just says, we have to do it.
We have to. Dun, dun, dun.
So he said, like, go and hide the DeLorean back where he did in the first one, like, next to where his estate will be built.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he gives Marty some a walkie-talkie and some stuff to, like, help him.
He takes this big briefcase of money of all these different time periods.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of stuff that makes it cool. Like, he's, like, thought of all this.
Yeah.
And it kind of implies as well that he's had, like, adventures by before. Himself.
Yeah.
Before he came to get Marty after that. Which is quite cool, though. I mean, it's nice to imagine what it would be.
It would be quite cute as, like, a... Imagine me, like, animated shorts of just, like, everywhere the dock went.
It was a Back to the Future sequel show.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. It was an animated show that ran for a bit, but I don't know if, like, how it fits into the canon or whatever, how real it is.
Yeah.
So, he says, go and find something to, like, dress inconspicuously. So he dresses up like a like a spy.
He's just out like a Blues Brothers with a jacket and a hat.
Yeah.
So they each have their like a little part of the mission that they need to go and do. So he needs to go and find the interaction between the young Biff and the old Biff while like the doc stays back and like kind of like supports him from the back and then comes in later on.
Yeah.
So so he talks to, he says, don't talk to your other self, obviously, because like this is for the same reason he said to Jennifer,
yeah, can mess everything up.
But so obviously, luckily, Marty knows exactly where his other self's gonna be because he just did it.
Like, it was only 2 days ago.
Yeah. So as far as he's concerned, he just did it. But at the same time, if he saw his other self, he'd just be like, "Don't worry about it. Time travel." And be like, "Yeah, cool."
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, cool. No bother.
He still probably would freak out though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, weird. But then, like, it's a kind of, like, that's the kind of thing they do in time travel movies all the time where, like, you see yourself so you know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You know where you're going to be. That's stuff I like, though. It's like, you see, like, it's like, if you see something that's going to happen, do you, like, fulfill what you think has to happen? Or do you, like, may do something different? Then it either changes or, like, despite you trying to change it, then the actual thing happens.
Yeah.
Well,
options. Lots of options.
We're going down these rabbit holes.
Yeah. So we get go to the bit where, like, Biff's car is getting cleaned because he just got hit by the big manure truck. And the guy's like, $300. And he's like, $300? I'm so poor. Then the old Biff is...
We know that his family is actually quite poor. We see him leave his house.
Yeah, we see it. It was quite good character development. But then... Yeah.
Yes, old Biff is sitting looking at him. He's like, not for long.
Old Biff sits in the car waiting for Biff to finish his argument. And Marty jumps in the back and hides underneath her sheet.
Yep.
And then old Biff is just like, get in the car.
He's like, how do you know how to start this car? He's like, just get in, you idiot.
Yeah.
He's like, why don't you make like a tree and get out of here? Just make like a tree and leave, you idiot. You look like a moron when you say it like that. Even though, like, because obviously he is him, so he knows. Yeah, so I've almost told him since then that you're an idiot.
So you try
to correct
him. You try to fix it, yeah.
Which is quite, even that, though, would change the timeline a bit.
Yeah. So then Biff and that, they all drive back to Biff's garage in his house. And as we see, Biff is, like, he's, like, living with his gran. He looks like he doesn't have that much money, yeah. It gives a bit more development to see why he is how he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so then, you see him talk him through, like, and this whole time, Marty and Doc are, like, in radio contact with each other, like, it's fine. We're sorting it. Mm-hmm. And we see, like, there you go.
Yeah, and yes, we see old Biff tell Biff about the alternate, everything that Biff said in the alternate timeline.
Yeah.
Just exactly word for word.
He doesn't believe him, but he turns the radio on.
Yeah.
He demonstrates how it would work.
Yeah.
He perfectly predicts a result.
He's like, I bet you the Jets are going to win 25-15. He's like, what are you talking about? He just told you it's over. Then they pull it back and he's like, whoa.
Oh my God.
Which I was just thinking, like, it's so
Like, obviously, that's quite, it's an easy way to make money, but, like, it's so small scale, because, like, knowing who Biff is, you think he would, like, really use everything he has to manipulate the timeline to put himself in the best possible position.
Yeah.
Because, like, he's implied that he's, like, a millionaire, like, a multi-millionaire, but he could easily be, like, a billionaire. He could be the richest person who's ever lived.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he, like, if he told him, like, oh, just invest in this company and do this and that, but he doesn't really, like, but obviously,
he,
like...
he was never really the most intelligent man.
True. He's a bit of an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even when he has all the keys, the kingdom in his hand, he just, like, drops half them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So then old Biff and young Biff leave and lock the garage, and so Marty's locked in there. He's like, oh, crap. How do I get out? So he's like, Doc, come and save me. And Doc's like, okay, I'll just be there. I can't drive the DeLorean in daylight, but I'll be there.
He cycles there. And then, but Biff leaves for the dance and starts driving away with Marty still in the car.
Yeah.
And then Biff goes to the dance and Marty's like, okay, I can steal it for a moment at the dance. But Doc's like, you got to be careful. You don't run to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And then Biff is like with all his friends and he's looking through. He's in that actual dance.
It's a magazine called Ooh La La.
Yeah. It's like an old school, very old pornographic magazine. And then teacher sees him and, like, follows Biff and all his pals outside. He's like, what have we got here? And takes the sport, but it's got the sports almanac cover.
We don't know that. We just think he takes the almanac and is like, oh, a bit of light reading, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he takes the almanac. Biff, like, swaps it over, swaps position so that when the teacher grabs it, it's just the almanac instead of the Ooh La La. And he takes it back to his office and Marty follows him, and it's like a very tense scene. Marty, like, sneaks about into his office. Gets his hand, like, jammed by the teacher's chair, and that the teacher's just chilling, having a wee drink. And then as he goes to leave, he throws out the almanac.
That was easy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
He takes it, but Biff has swapped the cover of...
So that's Ooh La La with the almanac cover.
Yeah.
Honestly,
man, it's pure classic. Biff. That's the smartest thing he's ever done.
Yeah.
So he tries to find him again. He's got to try and find him again. Near you.
Yeah.
Hits him, yeah.
Wait, and so then, is that a scene from the old one, or is that the new actor?
But that'll be, like, it's this audio from the actual scene, but it'll be a recreation.
Oh, yeah. Right, okay.
And then...
get your goddamn hands off her, you.
Yeah.
Marty comes up to him and, like, takes the almanac. And Biff, like, wakes up, so he punches him again in the head.
And goes the guy's away. Like, he just stole his wallet. That guy just took his wallet.
Yeah. Poppy was saying, obviously, we know he didn't take his wallet, but yeah. Poppy was saying, like, what if that guy actually stole his wallet and was using that to cover it up?
Oh, yeah.
I thought it was quite a funny little observation. About that. It'd be cool. I think at the end, it'd be cool if you saw him counting someone else's wallet at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or, like, towards the end, like, after the scene. Cause, like, yeah. He's like, don't worry, I know CPR. He's like, what's CPR? Because it hadn't been invented yet.
Yeah, exactly.
I know, that's, like, so weird.
And he's like, I don't think that guy stole that guy's wallet. I don't think that guy stole that guy's wallet. Hey, come out here with that guy's wallet. I think I just stole that guy's wallet.
And then...
three times.
He runs. He runs away. And then he gets... as he's running, three of Biff's, like, goons again. The guy's... Oh, he's... pals see him, because in the first one Biff told them to find Marty, but they find our Marty. This is getting confusing. They find our current Marty from this film, and Marty again's like, look over there, and they all look, and he runs away again.
Yeah.
And then he runs into the dance floor and hides underneath a table, but then all the goons run in and see Marty playing Johnny B. Goode on the guitar, and they're like, right, we'll jump him after the song. Yeah. And he tells the doc, and the doc's like, you need to stop him because he's going to mess everyone up. So then Marty has to go behind, sneak behind the stage, and then he climbs up the scaffold and, like, over the stage, and then drops, like,
these
sandbags on their heads, like, knocks them out, and then runs out. Just does it in time. And then as he leaves, he's like, he's looking for the glass of the door, and he can see the moment where, like, Lorraine's telling Marty that she's actually going to go home with George instead. He's like, oh, that's nice.
And to call Marty's like, call him, if you have a son, call him Marty or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, no, if you have a son and he burns the rug, don't be mad at him.
Yeah, don't be mad at him. And then as Marty turns around, Biff's there.
Yeah.
And then as Marty turns around, Biff's there, and he's like, you're going to have a fight right now. And I was like, nah. And then as he's walking away, he says, what are you, chicken?
And then the music starts again.
He's like, no one calls me chicken. And then as he turns around, other Marty slams the door open.
Knocks him out.
And knocks out our Marty. And then Biff is like a bit confused, but then he sees that Marty has the almanac. He's like, what are you doing stealing my things? And he steals it and he goes into his car. And then, so the Biff tells the doc picks him up at the DeLorean in the top of the school, and they fly after Biff. And the doc gives Marty the hoverboard, he's like, you go get it. So then there's like this big chase scene where like Marty's like trying to grab it, but like Biff sees him try to grab it, and so he's like trying to crush him against the side of the walls with his car.
Mm-hmm.
And then Marty eventually gets it, but he's in like a tunnel. So then Biff like turns around and like drives after Marty. Then Marty like just gets into the tunnel and grabs this what is it? This like
it's a ribbon or whatever.
Like a ribbon, yeah. The dog's let down. And then Biff like skids because a big truck comes up and he slides into manure again.
Yeah, and he goes, I hate manure.
Yeah. He spits out a big chunk of it.
Yeah.
At the scene where it's like where he Marty's in the car with him, or is it trying to get in the car with him, and he like he opens the door carefully and then like puts his head around the corner, and then Biff looks over at him and looks back and he's like and he looks back again and he's like, what the hell you think you're doing? He's like, yeah. He's been for ages.
Yeah, I was like, how? No, but even like a wee while before, Marty was in the back of his car and he was literally on walkie talkie to the dog, and I was like, how can Biff not hear him right now?
I know.
Like, old cars are being loud, I suppose, like.
Yeah.
And then so then like, they're flying away, but because the doc like lets Marty get off first because he's like holding onto this ribbon dangling off the car.
Yeah.
Mm.
And the doc's like floating in the sky, and then the lightning strike starts.
And then at this point, they're like, they look at the newspapers, so you see in as Marty burns the almanac, the words on his matchbook change from like Biff's casino to Biff's auto dealing.
Yeah,
and George McFly's alive in the newspaper. George McFly's honored.
Yeah, instead of George McFly murdered.
Yeah,
and then on Doc's newspaper up in the DeLorean, it says instead of saying the Doc Brown committed, it says Doc Brown commended. But the photos look exactly the same of him like hunched over, like shaking hands with someone.
Yeah, because Biff in the alternate reality got the Doc put in a mental asylum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then.
And he's like, Doc, be careful. You don't want to get struck by light.
And then he gets hit. And then the Doc like zaps back in time. Or zaps somewhere in time.
We don't know where.
Back to the future. And then
this car comes up behind it. And like, actually, straight after. I was like, oh my God, that's the Doc. He's coming back to save him.
He's like, Marty McFly, are you Marty McFly? He's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I got something for you. Reaches into his pocket. Who's just going to bring out a gun, brings out a letter.
He's like, I've been working in this office and it's been here for 70 years. We want to know what it is.
Since 1885. It's like he said to bring here on this exact minute, at this exact location, at this exact year. And then he's like, okay. And then we didn't think you were going to be here. I just lost a lot of money.
Yeah.
And he opens the letter and he's like, so like, Marty, I'm trapped in 19. I was trapped, thrust back to 1885 in September 1st. And he's like, I'm safe and don't worry about me. I've been living here for 8 months or something, so don't be worried about me. I'm fine. He's like, the Doc's alive!
He's alive!
The Doc's alive!
And he's like, and then the guy's like, is there anything I can do to help you? And he's like, there's only one person who can help me.
Yeah. And then he runs back to the town,
and
the square.
Yeah, it cuts to the bit in the first film where Marty's going back to 1985 at the end of the first one, and the Doc's like celebrating, and he's just walking back to his car, and then Marty runs and stops him. He's like, Doc. And he's like, what?
I just had you back to the future. Well, I'm back. So then that just ends there. It kind of just fades out, and then there's a trailer for the third one straight after.
It's weird, because like, they must have like, already recorded it, because it's coming out like the summer later.
Yeah, they recorded them back to back. Is it the same as The Matrix, where they recorded the second and third one at the same time?
Yeah, because it was like coming out 1990, and I was like, that's so weird.
Yeah, 30 years ago. But it's like, it's a good way to save money, because they don't have to like, they just hire one crew for an extended shoot. It takes probably like two-thirds as long as it would have taken if they'd shot the whole thing like independently.
Yeah, fair. Mm-hmm. I mean, probably looking back now, they'd probably wish that they had taken the time on it, but anyway.
Well, I think the director, Robert Zemeckis, his favourite one is the third one, because he loves westerns.
Not fair.
No. But it probably is the weakest. But that's the end of the film. Yeah, quite a wacky one.
It is really good. There's a lot of... probably quite hard to describe that if anyone hadn't seen it. I mean, imagine everyone has.
Yeah, probably.
But so, just watch it if you get confused.
Yeah, so like, I still think that... I used to love this film, but I think it is probably the weaker of the first two now. I like the sci-fi elements in it, but I think they could have done more with it almost. I think, I was thinking back watching it, and I was like, because obviously they go back in time, and because they don't have Crispin Glover, he's not in it at all. So I think it'd be cool if, like, instead of going back and redoing the first one almost, if they went back in time to save George McFly's life in the 70s, when he was killed by old Biff, and then went back in time with him from the alternate timeline, and then brought him into the normal timeline, so then he gets to live like twice, which obviously wouldn't really make any sense, but it's the kind of mistake that they would make, because they keep making stupid mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
I like the idea, like, if Marty had the control of the time machine, he wouldn't even think like, I need to go back to the 50s to stop this. He'd think, I just need to save my dad.
Yeah,
yeah,
I think that'd be quite a cool little element. And then it's like he's like a paradox, and he has to choose to like let go of his dad.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be quite a nice little thing, I think. But I'm always just making up crap, so...
Little ideas. Nice.
What do you think of it, the kind of the elements in this, the story elements?
I thought it was really cool. I thought it was just a lot happened in it, which was quite good.
Yeah, it's quite dense. Because it's almost like the first future... Everyone thinks of the future stuff when they think of it, but most of it isn't that.
Yeah, most of it isn't. The best part I thought the coolest part they didn't spend enough time in it was the alternate reality.
Yeah, that is cool. I wish they went into more like what other things have changed.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I wish we saw what Marty's like family looked like, if they were like more rough or whatever.
Or even if they've went into an alternate 1885 and then went into the future.
With that alternate reality and see what happened.
And they went and they just like to like try and see if it was still different or whatever. Just to test it.
I can imagine like Biff would have run that place into the ground. Well, he had anyway.
We can even see like him becoming like even more successful.
Yeah.
Because obviously after 2000 he would stop being able to make money because he wouldn't have.
He creates his own business with Biffco. Was it Radioactive Energy?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. That's so then because like he became like the president or became like something like in the other
just out of control. Yeah.
Some more powerful thing, or like he starts a war with someone or blah blah blah, but that'd be a cool idea.
Yeah,
see how far it goes.
Now I think it'd be cool if like in the second one it was like all, if they kind of made up more of a story in the second one, and then the third one was about like, or like the first the sorry the second one is about like the time in the future, and then has an alternate reality and stuff, and then the second one ends around there, and then the third one is about them going back through the other two films and then fixing it throughout the two films.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a tighter trilogy, but I feel like the first two go together really well.
Yeah, they do.
And the third one is like not connected really at all.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird. But anyway. Yeah. Louise, what do you think?
I liked it, but I still prefer the first one.
Yeah, fair dues.
If you remember, like last time you did the first one, I gave the first one a perfect 10 out of 10 because it's just like you couldn't fault it.
I can't remember what I gave my one.
I really like how like it like showed the scenes from the first one in the background and then him in them like now.
Different perspectives.
It's quite impressive. Cool. Like obviously, like the it's quite sophisticated CGI and stuff they're using to like have different people in the same scene at once and interacting.
Yeah, like old Biff and new Biff and stuff like that.
There's also the scene where like the Doc interacts with his other self.
Yeah.
Which I think because he's so straight, like, oh, you can't interact with the other self, but he does it. And he, like, goes out his way to interact with him.
Well, he doesn't really turn around and like fully.
True, but like, he doesn't say like it's talking to them that would destroy the universe. It's just saying that like just being around them would destroy the universe.
Yeah, that's true.
Which he was like, does it anyway. Right. So, what would you say your ratings would be, fella?
I can't remember what I rated my first one.
You rated the first one 9, and the second one 9. Oh, sorry, and then Louise, you did 9.7.
Ooh. I would give this one a 8.
An 8?
Yeah.
I'd probably give this one a 9 again.
A 9 again.
I struggled to put them apart. I said if I'd put my pick 2, but honestly, I couldn't. I
can't. I leave this one. Like, I think there's like some really cool elements in this. Yeah. As I've said before, I think there's like things that could be done differently. Mm-hmm. And like other elements, it's obviously easy for me to say because I'm having to make the film, but like I would probably give it like an 8. I'll give it an 8.4.
Nice.
8.4 altogether. So I do really like the film, and I think it's a really good companion piece to the first one, but it could not exist without the first one.
No, definitely not.
Right, so I'm going to do it for our first wee half.
Aye.
Yeah.
Aye. Guys, welcome back. Been a long time. Been a wee break. We just went on there. I've just been out running a marathon in the meantime.
Yeah.
I just did an 8-hour shift at my work.
Yeah, and that like 30-second break.
That wasn't 30. That was for us, Louise. That was 50 days.
Okay. Yeah. Uh huh.
What you might not know at home is that we actually record all these question segments in bulk. That's not true.
No.
we're currently recording this in 2017.
Yeah. That's it.
Alright, guys, I've got a question then for you quickly for in 2017. What global pandemic do you think will happen in the next 3 years?
Oh my god, guys.
I think swine flu is going to come back.
Fair.
I think we might have a global pandemic.
I remember, do you remember when like COVID-18 came out? That was really cool. I just think the next one's going to really smash.
Can't wait for it.
Yes.
I was loving it.
Come on.
Right, I've got a question here. This one comes in from Back to the Future. Mm-hmm. Flea, the musician from Red Hot Chili Peppers. This one is, see when you go in the Subway and you get a cookie, what kind of cookie are you getting?
Rainbow.
Interesting choice.
Mine's also the rainbow cookie.
See me. I'm a bit of a wacky.
I get the 3 random ones normally, but anyway, sorry, Colonel.
So my typical one would be the white chip macadamia nut.
Ooh.
Tasty like. I like a wee nut in me. I like a wee nut in me cookie.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I'm a weird guy because I really like raisins and that in cookies.
Right,
I like
homemade
cookies, which is a bit of a weird gin.
Controversial.
I like chocolate covered raisins and all that kind of weirdness.
Yeah, same. Yum.
I do too, but I would prefer sweets to a cookie, like the rainbow one.
Do 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 do.
Right, guys, you ready for my question?
Go on.
What's your favorite breakfast food? Like, if you just feel like I want to have a really good breakfast today, what would you have?
Pancakes and syrup.
Fair enough.
Butter toast, probably. That's an absolute.
That's
classic.
Your number one. I'd have French toast.
Butter toast is actually class.
I'd have French toast. Love French toast.
Look, imagine like a nice bit of bread with a nice little bit of butter, little cup of coffee. Mm-mm-mm.
Oh, I also like.
Come
here. It's like poached eggs. Mm.
Yeah.
They're good.
I like a wee bacon butty. A bacon butty.
That's solid.
Can't go wrong, eh? I actually prefer sausage in a roll than bacon in a roll.
Yeah, so me too. I prefer sausage over bacon altogether. Really.
Me too.
I like the. From my breakfast this morning, I had a McDonald's breakfast. Went for a run, and I was like, yeah, let's just do it. Bite the bullet. Let's just get a McDonald's breakfast. Mm. So here's what I got, guys. Right. Sure. Brace yourself. I got a ketchup roll a ketchup roll with for 3 bits of bacon in that, obviously.
Okay.
Add sausage. Add cheese.
Mm-hmm.
What's your thoughts on that?
That sounds amazing.
That does. How you added cheese.
Add cheese, add sausage, 3 bits of bacon, and ketchup. Absolute sort shit out. Do you remember, like, I used to get a Frankie and Benny? I don't know if you guys ever had it when you came here, but, like, Frankie and Benny's, you get the breakfast stacker.
No.
It's like a big massive thing full of hash browns and little fried potatoes, and that was really good.
Ooh.
Most of the bakeries have closed down. The one up here especially has.
Can I ask a question? Is the wraps are the wraps back in the breakfast?
Not yet.
No.
Unfortunately not, Louise. I've put in my request that says my sister really wants it, but they said no.
I've only had one once, but I liked it a lot.
They're pretty tasty. I was getting them without the egg.
Yeah, no egg, please. And I really like the bacon cheese flatbreads.
Cheese and bacon. All right, go on then.
Because you don't feel too minging after it.
Aye, go on then. You got any questions, anyone else?
Yeah, so guys, what's your favourite type of cake?
Oh my god. That caught me off guard.
Victoria sponge cake.
Really, Craig? I thought you were going to say red velvet.
I do really like red velvet, but Victoria sponge cake. I also like a chocolate cake.
Mm-hmm. I like a chocolate. In a restaurant, you know, you get like the generic
chocolate fudge cake.
Yeah, chocolate fudge cake is banging. But I love a Victoria sponge cake.
I don't know. I'm a taster weird now, though, because I don't like. I think just eating like a cake is like, you know, like a birthday cake. That's just boring.
Yeah.
That is, well, tons of icing. It's too much now. But Victoria sponge, it's like not got too much sugar in it. It's just got a nice bit of jam, a nice bit of cream.
Yeah, the sweetness comes from somewhere
sugar
else.
Sugar on the little bit of sugar sprinkled on the top. It's like, mmm.
And it's nice. Soft and fluffy.
For my last birthday, I think we talked about it actually like around my birthday, because it's weird that was like months and months ago, but we started a podcast I think about 8 months ago now.
What we're gonna do for a year,
who knows. Right, so we got on my birthday, I got a big, instead of a cake, I got a cookie. Giant double decker cookie. That was absolutely delicious, and I could not recommend it enough.
That does sound amazing.
It was so good. It's so, like, you have a slice of it, you're like, this is horrible for me, but I'm gonna keep eating it. I won't stop, and I'll never stop.
Yeah.
So is that gonna do it for our questions?
Well, I'll answer my question.
If you insist.
Okay, I like chocolate.
I like chocolate.
Yeah, that's me.
I really like you know when they get like, you know, just like a little cake that's got like a bit, like, it's more like a muffin. I suppose I'm saying, but you know, a cake with like a little bit of gooey in the middle.
Oh yeah,
that is good, Joe.
That is good. I remember Mum used to get those, like, they're from Marks and Spencer's, but they're probably from other places as well, but, like, it's, like, the chocolate thing with the gooeyness inside.
Yeah. And you put it in the microwave.
Yeah.
Mm.
I used to be, like, then we have them with the cream.
Yes. Unreal.
I'm a big disgust. I got this from Mum, but I used to be a big disgusting eater, and I just mush it all up into a big sludge and eat that.
Yeah, but it's nice.
That's how the cool kids do it.
Yeah.
They're at the cool factory. Right, we're going to move on to our catch-up time.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been up to, Louise?
So basically, wow, what a week it's been, let me tell you. So what did I do on the weekend? I was working. What? I was back to work.
How was
absolutely
it?
Well, sale was that started on the weekend, so it was a little bit busy. And then
how much is the sale?
It's really good. 50-70% off.
That can't be right. Hold on a minute. Let me calculate the numbers here. Hold on.
It is.
Gee willikers. What? So how much is a t-shirt? Like a straight up, just a men's t-shirt?
Really cheap. I don't know. I wasn't in men's at all, so I didn't see.
Are you too good for it, eh?
No, I was mostly in kids. I'm sorry.
Cads? But I was mostly in cads.
Somebody actually came in, an ex-teacher of ours. I'm not going to say their name on the podcast, but yeah.
Oh my goodness gracious.
Actually two. I saw two. And then on Monday, I had my forest trip again for university.
Hell yeah.
Great times. Then I went out on Monday into town. And you know what? Since then, I've just been chilling like a villain. And that's really it.
I
got a TV in my room as well.
I saw the footage. Very impressive. I saw you made some cupcakes. You made some curry.
Yeah, I made some curry last night. It was very yummy.
Very yummy.
With some, my favourite vegetable, pak choy.
Very tasty. Mm-hmm. I like a bit of pak choy in my stir fry. What about you, Craig? What have you done this week?
Didn't know much on the weekend that I can think of. Then on Monday, I had football training. And on Wednesday, it was football trials. And then, so I've been pretty dead from that. Uni started this week. Not any class, my only class is on Friday tomorrow, a 3-hour slot. which is nerve wracking. And
after, have you been doing uni stuff during the week?
Well, because it's the first week, I have classes, online class every day, but because it's the first week, the other two modules said, yeah, we've got stuff, there's stuff for you to look at, but it's for next week. So, like, I have looked at it, but the actual classes don't start for the other two modules until next week.
Do you know what your degree will be, if it's 50% third year, 50% fourth year, how does it work?
I actually don't know.
It's the kind of thing you should probably work out.
I'll probably find out, yeah.
I like it, Craig. Anything else?
Not really. I might go try pre-order the PS5 today.
Really? Well, have you seen that the Microsoft bought Bethesda, so they potentially could make the Bethesda games Xbox exclusive?
I saw that, but that's not going to happen for a while, because all the games that Bethesda already make and Microsoft came out openly and said they will release for PS5 as planned. However, they'll decide in future. They'll decide on the next games in the future, and I've fallen out with Bethesda anyway. Like, it would be sad if I couldn't get the next Elder Scrolls, but there's a lot of good PS4 exclusives that I would prefer.
PlayStation has it all. PlayStation's got, like, I'm really, my most anticipated game probably, and like, there's not even been announced yet really, but it's probably God of War.
Yeah, then, well, you see the teaser for it?
No.
There's a teaser trailer. It's just them talking.
Boy.
What?
For God of War. I'm also, yeah, so that's what I think about the whole Microsoft Bethesda thing. But also, like, look at Minecraft, that's released on Everin, so you never know. They said they're going to take each game at a time and decide for each game.
Yeah, I suppose it might be like the kind of thing where, like, it's maybe Xbox gets the DLC a week early or
stuff
like
that. Yeah, because you would lose out on so much money, because there are those stubborn people who just wouldn't switch console, and they would, because everyone will buy Elder Scrolls, obviously.
But even if you'd made it like it comes out on Xbox early, a month in advance, that would make a difference for people.
Exactly. But anyone who's thinking about getting a new next-gen console, especially a PlayStation, I was going to try and buy it when it came out, but how quickly the pre-orders are selling out, I think that would be pretty much impossible.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely not going to buy one at the time.
I'm going to, just because I've saved up so I can, and I really wanted it.
If you're a deuce to the boy.
Guess what, guys?
Yeah?
I have the Chinese already.
Hell yeah.
Oh, so they're actually the bees, a couple of days ago as well.
Yes!
They gave us free spring rolls. It was pretty good.
The order was big enough, you got a bit free stuff.
No way.
Yeah.
Love to see it.
Stunning.
Whenever I have people over at my house and they order, like, we order quite a lot, and, well, obviously this is in the old world, but we'd order quite a lot, and it's like you get up to like £50 and then they give you like loads of free stuff. You get like a free, like, full meal.
Really?
Yeah. They give you like a full, like, they give you like a free starter and then like a or like crispy chicken or something like that.
And do you not get to pick it?
No.
But that would be so cool.
It's probably just whatever they have kicking about, they'll just give you it.
Yeah, definitely.
My God.
Right, this week, guys, guess what I've been up to? You won't be able to guess. Did I mention, actually, that last week I went, at some point last week, I can't remember if it was before or after we recorded, but I went to cinema.
No,
you never said that.
Okay, well, I went to cinema. I saw Tenet. The film was pretty good. I don't think it was.
Oh, right, you did see this.
Because I remember, because I was going to go, and then when you said it wasn't as good as the other ones, I was like.
I think it is still really good. Okay. And it's like, it's a film you want to see in the cinema.
Right.
But it's probably not as good. It's probably, out of like his last five films, I would say, like, so from The Dark Knight onwards, it's probably like his second weakest film.
Did it drag when you were watching it?
Maybe like for a bit it did, and I was like, where is this going? And it's a lot of like characters sitting down saying like, what is this thing, and they explain what this thing is, like, but I know you're over explaining things, I think.
Okay.
Or like it's just things that don't seem connected at all, and they're like, where's this gonna go? Obviously that's gonna come back at the end, because it's like there's no real twists in it, because it's like it's very telegraphed where the twists will be.
Right.
But good time being at the cinema. Nice to be back.
Yeah.
I'm back in the office. Putting the grind in. Apart from that, I ran my first shift at work for 8 months. Pretty stressful stuff.
Yeah, that was
very emotional time.
You cry?
Really? No, I didn't cry, but I was just proper like, oh my god, this is a lot. And then
This so week you ran the whole store?
No, well, I ran the shift. I didn't run the store.
Yeah, but the shift in your store. So everyone who's working at that morning, you ran it?
Yeah.
Was it scary?
Well, that's what my job is. I've just not been doing it for a long time. But it was quite scary, to be honest. I was a bit like stressy boy. Mm-hmm. But I was so out of practice. Everyone knew that I was so out of practice. So like any mistakes I was making, they were like, yeah, that's fine.
Aww.
Yeah, fair enough.
So I'm going back. I got this week off, actually, so I won't be back for another until next again Saturday. I go back to uni on Monday. Very exciting. I was going to do some prep work. Like, all my stuff's online, all of it. So I was going to do some stuff in prep work, but there is, like, nothing's unlocked yet, so I can't do anything.
Aww.
Yeah, it's annoying. That's, like, mine. It's quite hard, I think, for the teachers, because, like, there's guys, like, people who... Some of the lecturers are quite old, and they just don't put stuff up online. And, like, lecturers, like, sending emails, like... saying he's struggling to upload stuff online, but he's getting there. He's just trying to work it all out.
Aww.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's good because, like, obviously they all have it pre-recorded as well, so it must be quite nice for them because they can just record all the lectures at once and not have to, like, get nervous presenting them.
Yeah,
just
have
to do it. So I'm quite looking forward to it because getting back to uni, it'd be weird going back, obviously, though, but not actually going back anywhere.
Yeah.
But that's fine. My last year, so hopefully I just go and smash it.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much all I did. I also got a burrito the other day. I'm trying to think what else have I done? What else have I done? The week just blend together. And that's pretty much all I've done. That's it for me this week, guys. Hopefully. What are we doing, Louise? What are we doing next week?
Okay, so next week we're going to do a little psychological one because we like those.
Why?
It came out 2018. It is A Simple Favour.
I've never even heard of this film.
Never heard of it either.
Wow.
What's it going to be? Who's it going to buy? Be ba boo ba ba. Yes. Right. Is that going to do it for this week, fellers?
I think so.
Lovely.
All right, guys.
Great to see you both.
Good talking to you, everyone. Remember, I haven't had any questions in a while. If you want to send a question, you should already know those socials by now. How about that?
Whoa.
If you want to send a question, just shout to me in the street.
Okay.
Right, guys. Catch us later on.
Podcastoutlook.com, Swanson_chatroom. Peace out.
Peace. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.